Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Amen. So I want us to stand for the reading of God's word from the book of Malachi, chapter number 3, verse number 7 through to 12. It is our custom to stand for the reading of God's word. And help me open your Bibles to Malachi, chapter number 3, verse number 7 through to 12. Verse number 7 through to 12. You can help me read from the screen or from your phone. Now he says that even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and pour you out, and pour you out, the blessing will come from a window. Woo! The blessing will come from a window. Window of an opportunity. Oh, the blessing will not just come, but it will come out of a window. I pray that God gives somebody a window, an open window. Sometimes you don't need the heavens to open, but you just need the one window. Oh, somebody got a window, now he's rich. Now we have something we call windows. Praise God. And he said that there shall not be room. Wow. So a blessing can come from a window that will fill a whole room, that there will not be enough space. May that be your portion. Verse 11 and 12. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before thy time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What a blessing. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delights on land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now stretch your hands on the altar. Spirit of the living God, we are grateful. We are so grateful for always blessing us, for always giving unto us, for always bestowing upon us your word. Thank you for the enlightenment and the revelation that you are about to explode right here. Holy Spirit, move in your soul liberty. Don't make these words the words of men, but make it your unadulterated, full of power, word that is bringing change and transformation into our soul. We decree and declare by reason of the power in your word that let the limit in this atmosphere be broken. Anything that seems to hinder the flow of your word, we declare it parted into two. And now let your word have its free course. Spirit of God, come magnify Jesus like never before in this our service. Use me, O God, as a vessel of honor, and let me be a blessing. But don't let me be cast away after I have preached to your people. Let me be a beneficiary, an equal beneficiary of your grace and blessing. In Jesus, the blessed name, and let the people of God shout a big amen. Please take your seat in the presence of the living God. Amen. This morning we are talking on the subject stewardship. Say stewardship. I believe that it is one of the most important topics for every child of God. If we really want to respond to what God is saying and be able to walk in that which he has for us, then there is a need for us to be able to know what he wants us to do, and then we walk how he wants us to walk. And as a child of God, I believe that one of the things that we do in response to God's word, especially a prophetic word like this, is to know what we call stewardship. Say stewardship. Now, stewardship is how, number one, we obtain money, how we save money, how we invest money, how we spend money, and how we give money. Stewardship is how your money is obtained. It's how you are able to save money. It talks about your investment. It talks about your money, how you spend your money, and it talks about how you give your money. And it's important to understand that God is interested in our stewardship. God is interested in the way we handle money. So if you look at how I define stewardship, it's all about money. When we say stewardship, we are talking about money. So how you'll obtain money, how you spend money, how you invest money, and how you give money, God is interested in that. Say, God is interested in how I spend money. If you are not saying some, you are suspect. Over and over in the Bible, God talks about our stewardship. God does not need our money because he is God. He owns everything. God owns everything. The Bible says that the cattle of a thousand hills belongs to him. Silver is mine. Gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. So God does not necessarily need your money. He owns everything because he's God. He's not interested in what we have, but who we are. God is not interested in what you have, but who you are. You know, we see the inverse or the opposite happening, because men will be interested in the things you have, in the possession of your inheritance or material things. Man will be interested in your apparel, will be interested in the kind of mobile phone you are holding. Man will be interested in the kind of shoe, the hair that you are putting on. But these things don't matter to God. What matters to God is who you are. God is interested in who you are rather than the things you have or the things you owe. And God wants us, and he wants every one of his child to be blessed. Hallelujah. Say, God wants me to be blessed. I believe that God wants us to be blessed rather than to have material things. Because in blessing would release every material blessing that you and I need. Somebody is blessed. God wants to give to us. He's a giver. He's the one who first gave. And God keeps giving. Even till now, he has given you the breath of life. He has given you sustenance. He has given you everything you need, everything you desire. Is somebody here with me? Say, God wants to give to me. Now, we can see from the New Testament over 38 parables that Jesus taught. Jesus taught us 38 parables. You know 38 parables? You know parables? Parables were some of the stories that Jesus shared to actually explain his thoughts and then also to give us understanding of the things he wants us to what? Know. Praise God. So Jesus can say that a parable, a sower went to sow. Are you with me? It is just a parable, something to explain his thoughts. Are you with me? And such parables in the New Testament, is over 38. It's more of 38 times Jesus gave up a parable. But within these 38 parables, we have 16 of them dealing with stewardship. 16 of them dealing with stewardship. And you know now, when I say stewardship, I'm talking about money. So 16 of 38 parables of Jesus is talking about money. You can imagine. Praise Jesus Christ. And about one out of every 10 verses in the New Testament also deals with the matter of stewardship. In the New Testament, there are about 500 verses that deals with faith. 500 verses that deals with faith. In other words, in the New Testament, there are statements and there are verses that talks about faith, and that is 500 in number. And there are also statements and verses in the New Testament that deals with prayer. Praise God. So you can count the number of, prayer that is written in the New Testament. You can find 500 verses talking about prayer. But when it comes to stewardship, that is money, over 2,000 verses talking about money in the New Testament alone. That should tell you the emphasis and the premium that God places on money, your relationship with money. It is so important that faith is an important thing. Prayer is an important. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those that come to him must know that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Wow. So without faith, you cannot receive anything from God. Is it not so important? Faith is so important. Is somebody here with me? Prayer, they said, is the key. And prayer is so important. Jesus said that men always ought to pray. And not fainting. Men always ought to pray. Prayer is so much important to the believer. But then looking at the emphasis and the premium that was placed on both prayer and faith as compared to stewardship, you realize that stewardship is so much important, and your relationship, how you manage your money, how you invest your money, how you spend your money also is so much importance to God. And that is why he places a lot of emphasis on it. God is interested in how we acquire and use our money. And I come again. God is interested in how we acquire and use our money. And one of the greatest tests of our spirituality and how much we love God and how much we believe the word of God is stewardship. Your greatest test as a child of God will come based on how or your relationship with money. Can I come again? Your greatest test of your spirituality, how much you think you are connected to God, your relationship with God will be tested based on your relationship with money. That is so important. Your relationship with God will be tested based on your relationship with money. And it's so important that Satan is very interested also in our stewardship. In other words, he's interested also how you spend your money. So you can imagine, God is interested in the way you spend your money, and Satan is also interested in the way you also what? Spend your money. And Satan knows that if he can defeat us in the way we keep our money, then he can keep us in bondage. He's so much mindful of the fact that if we are able to mess up the way we relate with money vis-a-vis with God, then he'll be able to keep us in bondage, in financial bondage for the rest of our lives. And that is why Jesus said that I came that you may have life and have it in abundance. Jesus came to set us free from every bondage, which includes financial bondage. Hallelujah. Anyone under financial bondage this morning, I decree your liberty in the name of Jesus Christ. God has come to set us free. How? By the way we relate to money. The devil has also come to bring us into bondage. How? By the way we relate with what? Money. Are you here with me? Your relationship with money will either set you free or bring you into bondage. Are you here with me? Am I talking to people here? This morning, your life can be changed by this message. Your financial status can be changed by this message. God is transforming your life based on this message in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we have established right from this important point that no matter who or how spiritual you can be, it will take your test of stewardship in order to know your faith, your trust, and your belief in God. Hallelujah. We are living in a day where many people are living in financial bondage. Many people are living in financial bondage. And there are examples everywhere. When you cannot pay your bills, or you have to borrow money in order to eat, you have to borrow money in order to finance your loan, you have to borrow money and all that in order to get something for yourself, then you are in financial bondage. God did not call us to be in financial bondage. It is the devil that wants us to be in financial bondage. And that devil is a liar. This morning we rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. Your amen is weak. We buy things we don't need with money. We don't have to impress people we don't like. Most people buy things they don't need. All because they have a desire for it. And it is not every desire that has to be met. Is somebody here with me? And many people are buying things or spending money just to impress people. Even people they don't like. How can you impress somebody you don't like? All because you just want the person to know too that you too, you are there. And many find themselves in financial bondage. Both the rich and the poor. Those who are rich may be in financial bondage. How? The wealthy are in financial bondage when they try to find satisfaction in their money. When you try to find satisfaction in their money, you've relied on your money, then you are in financial bondage. Praise God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10. Quick one. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5 verse number 10. He says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Do you understand it? Help me read. Everybody go. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with what? Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also what? Vanity. Amazing. So, Those who are rich can be in financial bondage. Why? Because they find satisfaction in their money and they can't find it. They can't do it. A person in financial bondage is in financial bondage if their money increases their worries. If their money increases their worries. Long before, my father used to tell a story of a very rich man somewhere in Obuasi or somewhere. Yes. This man was so rich. He had a lot of gold bars in his house. And he had so many possessions. And he therefore, in the night, whilst everybody was sleeping, this man cannot sleep. He would pick his gun on his shoulder and would be moving around his house on top of his building, watching that if there is what? A thief or an armed robber coming. You can imagine. He's so rich that he's worried about what? His riches. And that is how many of us sometimes we do. We get so rich and we are, and the richness is actually in tree. Praise God. I pray that you don't get to that level. In the name of Jesus. Proverbs chapter 15 verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 15 verse number 6. He says that in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. In the house of the righteous is much what? Treasure. So there are things that we need to treasure more than money. Praise God. Is somebody here with me? And that is what God is bringing us into. A person is in financial bondage when he is a slave to his money. When he is a slave to his money. When we say somebody is a slave to something, it means that that person is being controlled by that thing. It means that when you are a slave to money, it means money controls you. Your life is directed or dictated by what? Money. In fact, all your negotiations are based on what? Money. There are people, if you don't give them a penny, they will never do anything. If you don't give them money, they will never respond to you. Praise God. And if your life is in that form, then you have become a slave to money. And that is why you are in financial bondage. Praise God. If your chief aim in life is to make money, then you are lost for good. If all your purpose in life is to make money, then you have failed. In fact, then you are a total failure. I'm not saying money is not good, but if all you live for is to make money, then you have failed. Because there are things in life that money cannot buy. Praise God. And those things are much more worthier and important than the things you need money for. Praise God. So if all you need in life is to make money, all your aim is to make money, then you are making a big mistake. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you must come to a point in time where you don't spend money, but everything you need is supplied. Oh, come on. I'm telling you the truth. If everything you needed, you have to buy, then you are poor. You are poor. Can I come again? If everything you needed, you have to take your money and buy, then you are really what? Poor. Because, listen, you must be blessed to the extent that God must touch people to bless you. And it's the greatest blessing for somebody to look at your face and say, take this. This is for you. This is for that. Take this for that. Take this for that. That is the kind of level God is taking you. And I pray that you also get to the point where you will be blessed to bless others as well. Proverbs 23 verse number 4. Amazing word. You know, if someone's goal in life is to be rich, as I said, then you are most miserable. You are most miserable. He says that labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. The Bible never condemns riches. The Bible never condemns riches. In fact, the Bible talks about money more than any other subject. The Bible talks about riches. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Put it right there. Deuteronomy 8, 18. I think you should have all these verses. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Who giveth thee power to get wealth? Can I talk to somebody here? So you must understand that your ability to command wealth is not even with you. It is God who gives you the power to be wealthy. Amen and amen. That he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers. What a blessing. So, understand this. But if your goal in life is to get money, then money is going to get you. And that is not the way God wants us to live. A person in a financial bondage, or a person is in a financial bondage, that is when or if they have plenty of money in the bank, but no treasure in heaven. When you have plenty of money in your bank account, but you don't have treasure in heaven. When you continue from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, we read verse number 4. Look at verse number 5. He says that, look, will thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? We set our eyes upon that which is not. Remember, he started by saying that labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. But we set our eyes on that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves what? Wings. They fly away as an eagle towards what? The heaven. What does this mean to you? It means that money has wings. Money talks. And money flies. Money can say goodbye. Praise God. In a typical example in Luke chapter 12, verse number 16 to 21, a quick one. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 16 to 21. We must understand this, that if you are in financial bondage, when you have money at the bank but no treasure in heaven. And this is a typical example of a man who had a lot of money, had a lot of treasure on earth, but had no treasure in heaven. He said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth what? Plentifulness. It means that he actually got great harvest. Amen. He had great cocoa farm, and the cocoa farm actually produced great harvest for him. Amen. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Oh my God. So he started, what can I do? Because now I'm so much blessed that I don't know what to do with my money. Okay, don't push it. Then he said, this I will do. Self-gratification. Self-reliance. Depending on yourself. This I will do. Anybody who come to the point of acknowledging yourself as behind the good thing in your life, you are already in financial bondage. Are you with me? This, look at this scripture. Everything is I. No, I didn't even see you. He said that this I will do. I will what? I will pull down my barns and build greater. And then will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I. One verse has about three eyes. Be careful with your eye. Not this one, with yourself. Yourself can deceive you. Then the Bible says, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many hoard. This man had goods laid up for him on earth. Praise God. Take thy ease. eat, drink, and be hot, and be merry.
Wow.
Let's happen. Let's see what happened. But God said unto him, thou art fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast what? Provided. All his riches that he provided was going to be out of his hands the day his soul was taken from him. He said, labor not to be rich. You are poor when you have treasures or you have money in your bank account but has no treasure in heaven. It is my prayer that may God give us understanding. So not only is God interested in our finances, or not only is Satan interested in your finances, that is to keep you in bondage, but you are also interested in your finances. Say, I'm also interested in my finances. Why? Because it takes money and finances to live. Without money, you cannot survive. In this Ghana here, without money, it will be very difficult. Praise God. Even this is better. In Ghana is better. Let me tell you, if you lived in Europe or in UK especially, and you are not working, you don't have money, you will sleep outside. You become homeless. Praise God. And you see many people living in train. That's where they sleep. Once they enter into the train will be taking them going up and down like that. That is their house. Everything. Praise God. Money is important. Are you here with me? Because we need money to live. It's part of our normal life. And God knows you need money. Say, God knows I need money. That is why this morning we are sharing on, in the first service, I'm sharing on one point of how we can be financially free. We can be financially free. Because God wants us to be financially what? Free. How many of you are ready for that? How many of you wants to be financially free? You want to break the bondage of finances over your life? I pray that this morning may that be your portion in Jesus' name. Somebody is blessed. The first thing that God expects from us to be financially free is that there is a personal return to God. There is a personal return to God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Now he says, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances. Are you with me? Now, underline the word my ordinances. My ordinances in this verse actually means my laws. You have gone away from my heart, my laws. And it's so important for us to understand that God doesn't want your money. He wants you. Put it right there. Say that God doesn't want my money. He wants me. Oh, you are not saying it. Are you angry with Pastor? Shout it. Say, God doesn't want my money, but he wants me. Amen. So you realize that in the scripture, he said that you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Now everybody go, return. He didn't say, give me your money. But he said what? Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? So God is not interested in your money, but he is interested in you. He wants you. Say, God wants me. Oh, praise God. He says, return to me. Return unto me. You see, God loves us for ourselves. He loves us for who we are. It's so important that people love because of something they will get from people. Are you with me? Many people would be your friend because of certain advantage they would get from you. People will get closer to you because they think that you have some kind of help that they would need. Am I talking to people here? People are opportunists. Are you with me? People are what? Let's not take it from right. I mean, it is the truth. Somebody will be your friend because of an advantage they will get from you. Tell me. Are you with me? Because of something that they will get. Not necessarily who you are. They may not like you. Oh, come on. They may not like you. They may not like you. But then because of, you know, they will be your friend. But that is not the way God does his things. God loves you just the way you are. I don't know. I think I'm teaching the wrong church. I said God loves you the way you are. Whether you have it or you don't have it, he says, return to me. You see, preachers and believers must understand the scripture. Whenever we start talking about Malachi chapter 3, they think we are talking about what God wants from us. But understand the beginning of the scripture. He said that you guys have gone away from my what? Ordinances. Now return to me. He didn't say that. Bring what? Your money. He wants a relationship rather than what you have. Your amen is weak. Say, God wants our fellowship. Praise God. The gift without the giver is an abuse. The gift without the giver is an abuse. It's an abuse. It's an abuse. Many of you want the gift, but you don't need the giver. I pray that may God give us a change of mind. Is somebody here with me? So what we do not joyfully, lovingly, freely give, God neither needs it nor wants it. Can I come again? Are you with me? What we do not joyfully, lovingly, and freely give, God doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. Why? In Psalm number 50, verse number 12, he says that if I was hungry, will I come to you? Will I come to you for you to feed me? Put it right there. Psalm number 50, verse 12. He said, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Praise God. So it is important that what we do not freely give to him, he doesn't need it. What we grudgingly give, he doesn't what? Need it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Put that scripture there. Let me smart on this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 14. He said, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. Paul is saying that, look, this is the third time I'm coming, and it is not that I don't want to be burdened to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Wow! Amazing scripture. Think of it. These days, it is the other way around. Parents are rather taking from children. Are you with me? And God is our father. Oh, come on. I wish I had the right people. How many of you believe God is your father? He's a good parent. He's a good father. And listen to me. Like every father, they rather want to give to their children rather than to take from them. If you are here and you think that you have to make God who he is by giving your money, then you are making a big mistake. That God needs what you have to give him in order to be God? No. He said, I came not to be what? Burdensome to you. But for your own what? For your own good. Praise God. Somebody is blessed. So before you give your money, you have to give yourself. You have to give yourself. Before you give your money, you have to give yourself. I've said it several times on this altar that your money doesn't matter if yourself is not in it. Your money doesn't matter if you have not first given your 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 5. Talking about the Macedonian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 5. Talking about the Macedonian church. Paul attested to this. The Bible said that this they did. not as we hope, but first gave their own self to the Lord. As first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They first gave themselves. Let me tell you, whatever you hold to give to God will not matter if your heart is not in it. If you have not first given yourself to it, it must be seen in yourself giving than what you hold. Praise God. This day, not as we hope, but they first gave themselves. I pray that in this season you will give yourself to God. I want you to now understand that God is not raising money, but God is raising, or God is growing Christians. God is growing believers. His intention is not to raise money, but his intention is to grow you. His intention is to grow you. He wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to grow in knowledge. He wants us to grow in the love of him. Hallelujah. So Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 7 through to 8 is so important that he said, return to me and I will return to you. And I said, where shall we return? The verse number 8, everybody quickly. Verse number 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in all, in offering. Hallelujah. Now, one of the greatest signs that we have returned to God is in our finances. One of the greatest signs that a man has a fellowship with God is in your finances, is in your money, is in your money. When we stop robbing God, it will be seen in our money, in our finances. Anyone who said, I'm saved, I'm this, I'm that, I'm born again, it has to be seen in your finances. The repentance that does not reach the pocket has really not reached the heart. Can I come again? The repentance that did not what? Reach the pocket has not reached what? Did you hear what I said? Can you repeat that with me? You said, I'm saved, I'm changed. But when it comes to your pocket, it means that that repentance is not also reaching your heart. What a blessing. How many of you wants to be rich? Yes. Receive that grace. How many of you are saved? Salvation, as I said last week, is holistic. When you are saved, you are saved with your pocket. Praise God. I remember a story I read of a man who was rich and came to be saved. He became born again. And then it was time for baptism. So they were going to baptize this man. Not knowing, the pastor said that once you enter into the water, everything goes to God. Everything belongs to God. When you enter into the water, everything becomes of God. Not knowing, this man has some dollars in his pocket. So as he was dipped in the water, he pulled out the dollars and said, that one didn't go to there. Praise God. Some of us, that is what we do. But I pray that may God give us a change of heart. Is somebody here with me? So the repentance that does not reach the pocket has not really reached the heart. And many people are in financial bondage and are away from God because they have tried to put things first. And not God. They have tried to put things first and not God. They have tried to put things first and God second. You are saved this morning, but material things or things around you have become the first on your priority list and God the second. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, you should seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all other things shall be what? Added unto us. No gift or tithe can please God if it does not come from a loving and a surrendered heart. No gift or tithe can please God if it does not come from a loving and a surrendered heart. The point of return is always the point of your departure. The point of your return is always the point of your departure. Well, for many, the point of departure has been the matter of stewardship. God wants you to return to him. And when you return to him, everything with you will also be for him. Hallelujah. He said that when ye failed in stewardship, these are what happens. Number one, you rob God. When you fail in stewardship, in other words, when you fail in your money, your correct relationship with money, what happens is that you rob God. You also rob the church. You rob missions and the things we need the money for in the church. You also rob the needy in the church, because your money is used to also help others in the church. And then finally, you also rob yourself. You rob yourself. Praise God. Understand this, that tithing is God's way to enrich us rather than to take away from us. Tithing is God's way to do what? To enrich us rather than to what? To rob us. Amen. Matthew chapter 22 verse 21. Matthew 22 verse 21. There was a question. The Bible says that they say unto them, unto him, Caesar, then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are of Caesar's, and unto God the things which are of God. Now the question is that, do you fear Caesar more than you fear God? Amen. And are you more careful with Caesar than you are with God? Most people are more fearful to man, like they are afraid of man, what man can do to them, rather than what God will do. They are willing to please man than to please God. Praise God. Praise God. We don't really give the tithe, but we return it to God. Tithe is not what you give to God at the end of the month, but you return it, because it's not yours. You return things that are not what? Am I talking to people here? Oh, I've come to give my tithe. Who? Your tithe? You have come to return it, because in the first place, it was not what? Yours. Hallelujah. I've talked mainly about tithe and the principle behind it. And I believe that it is so important that we give unto God what belongs to him. Amen. It is already for the Lord. Your tithe is already for the Lord. And what you do is that you return it. And that is where your blessings are located. That is where you are enriched in him. If anybody wants to be financially free, bondage free, then you need to return to God. Somebody is blessed. Leviticus 27 verse 30. Leviticus 27, the verse number 30. Let's read that in closing. It says, in all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Praise God. Other versions will say that it is the Lord's portion. It is the Lord's portion, and it is holy unto the Lord. So the tithe is a holy thing. Say, the tithe is a holy thing. Can I hear it louder? Anytime God blesses you, the one tenth of it is a holy thing. And it is only God who is holy. Are you with me? And we don't keep that which is God, which is holy, with us. When you keep it, you have robbed him. You have robbed him. You have robbed him. Are you here with me? Because only him is holy. In his holiness, when we give what is due him, he make the lansom also what? Holy. That is where the blessing actually lies. And I see that grace coming upon you right now. So tithe is God's way to bless. Tithing is God's way to do what? Say it again. Tithing is what? There is always a blessing when we give. There is always a curse when we steal it, when we rob him. when we rob him. When a person robs God, he robs himself. Is somebody here with me? And God is not seeking our money. God is seeking us. He said, return unto me. When you are fully returned unto him, everything about you will be for him. What a blessing this morning. I said, what a blessing this morning. I pray that by virtue of the word of the Lord, every financial bondage you find yourself be broken in Jesus' name. I pray that with this understanding, we are going to have a good relationship with money. And as we relate well with money, God is blessing us. Somebody is blessed. Come on, rise up on your feet and give God the praise. Hallelujah. We'll be looking at a second one at the second service. God's way to be financially what? Free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't miss it. It will be a blessing to you. Lift up your hands to the Father. You want to pray and thank him for his desire and for his will to bless you. His will to make you who he wants you to be. Lift up your hands, every one of you. You want to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, make me who you want me to be, in accordance with your will. Today I receive the grace to become better than what I used to be. In my relationship with money, open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.